Monster Movie Media presents.
And welcome to episode 23 of the Creepy Kingdom Podcast. A podcast all about the creepiness of the Disney theme parks and films. I am your host, Mr. James H. Carter II. Coming up in this episode, I have a chat with a former cast member by the name of Adam Leonard, as he tells me and you some creepy tales, some creepy cast member tales. Coming up after that, I'll be playing a few clips from an appearance I made on thebestmagic.net. I was interviewed on there, and I'm just going to play a little clips, so you get a little taste of what that was about. But before we dive into all of that, I have given a mission to former Creepy Kingdom guest and fellow Monster Movie Media podcaster, Miss Roxy Tart. And that is, throughout her travels throughout the many lands of Disneyland and Anaheim, California, I have asked her to ask whatever characters she may come across something creepy that has happened to them in Disneyland.
What's this, your name?
Oh, Peter.
Where are you from?
Neverland.
Okay, tell us.
Okay, scariest thing I ever saw, hi, was when a girl came up to me and said, hi, Peter, my name's la la la. I was like, hi, I'm Peter. And then she said, can I kiss you, give you a thimble? And I said, no! Pushed her away too. I'm telling the story about one time this girl tried to give me a thimble. Gross.
That does sound creepy.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You got it.
Well, thank you, Peter, for letting us know about that. And thank you, Roxy, for, stepping up to the plate and getting the information that we need. Roxy has a brand new podcast produced by Monster Movie Media, called Roxy's World, and I would say so far it's about, I don't know, 40% Disney. It's not a full Disney podcast, but Disney gets brought up a lot. It's a lot of what's going on in her life. And the latest episode, episode 3, her and her co-host Cupcake Terror and Joe had an in-depth discussion about the fact that they feel that certain Disney villains are not really villains. So that's some pretty controversial statement said there. You can find her podcast in the show notes, of course, but also at her website, roxy-tart.com. Now, without any further ado, let's talk to Adam Leonard and begin. Alrighty, I'm here with Adam Leonard. Hello, Adam.
Hi, James.
How you doing?
I am doing wonderfully today.
Excellent. Thank you for coming on the show. Appreciate it.
It's a pleasure and a privilege, James.
Excellent. I'm glad to hear it. I'm humbled. I'm flattered.
Me too.
So, I invited you on because you are a former cast member at Walt Disney World, correct?
That is correct, yeah.
So, when and how long were you a cast member?
You know, I actually had a relatively short tour of duty. I was actually part of the Disney College program.
Okay.
It was probably about 3-4 years ago. I'm trying to think of the exact date. It was probably January through May of 2014. It was probably 2010.
All right, so not too long ago.
No, fairly recently,
Okay, cool. How was that experience for you? Just overall?
It was a very, you know, it was kind of a very interesting experience. You know, I personally loved it. I've been a huge Disney person pretty much my entire life, and I kind of came to it because I had the opportunity about the year before. A very generous friend took me and some of our friends to Disneyland, and then me and my buddy started talking about how awesome that trip was, and because I hadn't been since I was like a kid, and we started talking about, you know, how cool it would be to be able to actually, you know, do that, to be able to work at the park. And we started talking about how that would be possible, and then I found out about the college program, and it was like a really easy way to do that, because, you know, basically you apply, if they accept you, they provide your housing, they make it very easy to actually make that transition if you wanted to experience it. So I wound up doing it. My friend wound up kind of chickening out at the last second, but but, you know, I followed through, and, you know, I pretty much picked up and left my life for 4 months and went and lived in Orlando, Florida.
Wow. Well, I guess, if everything's all set up, you know, you have the chance. It's kind of a once-in-a-lifetime chance. I guess you just got to jump on it.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like, you know, like I said, they do a really good job of making it pretty easy to do it. I mean, all you have to do is get yourself out there, and then they've got everything else taken care of. So, so you know, I just figured, you know, life's short. Why not try to do as much interesting stuff as you can?
That's the truth.
Yeah.
So where did you work?
I actually worked on Pirates of the Caribbean.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting. What was your position or whatever they call it?
Everything.
Oh,
because basically when you work on an attraction, for the most part, you do a little bit of everything. You pretty much do everything that needs to be done. I've heard there's some attractions that there's kind of like varying levels. I've heard that like the Great Movie Ride, you have to undergo like extra training to take on certain roles, but that's not the case with like Pirates of the Caribbean. With like Pirates of the Caribbean, it's, you know, basically you spend a week learning how to do pretty much everything, whether it be greeting or running the tower, you know, load, unload, that kind of stuff.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
So you did a little bit of everything.
I did.
So that's just operations. You didn't do maintenance or anything. Is that kind of a different department?
Yeah, that's there's a whole set of people who just kind of that's a whole other kind of ball of string, as it were. Yeah, there are people who that's very specifically their job, is that they come in when the ride breaks, which with Pirates of the Caribbean was like all the time.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I think there was probably 1 week when I worked there where I worked probably 5 or 6 days that week, and I was involved in like an evacuation of the ride every day.
Wow. So I've never experienced it. I don't know how it is. So how do you evac on a water ride?
Well, it's definitely interesting, because basically there's kind of like a kind of network of backstage throughout Pirates of the Caribbean. This is like a pretty large building.
Mm-hmm.
And basically we have to get on like water waders, like, you know, those things you wear when you're going fishing.
Yeah.
And the cast members actually have to jump in the water, and you have to kind of push the boats around to very specific points where we can get them out of the ride.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So the water is what, about a foot deep?
Yeah, I'd say that, maybe a little more than that. But yeah, you're definitely kind of soaking in up to, you know, your thighs or your hips, depending.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
So even more than that. That's great. So you had to do that, is what you're saying?
Yeah, I did. I had to do that on multiple occasions, because, like, you know, the ride just had a tendency, at least at that time. They might have done maintenance since then, or taken it down for a while to work on it. But at that time, it had a tendency to get stuck really easily. Yeah.
So you spent a lot of time in that building. I mean, how long were your shifts?
You know, it really depended. Like, you know, sometimes, like during like the down season, I probably worked, you know, several, maybe 6 hour shifts a week. But then, like towards the end, like right at the end of kind of my tour of duty there, we hit kind of the spring break season.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point I would, you know, I'd be literally working like, I don't know, like 6 days a week, and we're talking about like upwards of like 15, 16 hours a day. It was like ridiculous.
Wow.
Yeah. You'd literally go to work and then you'd go home and maybe get 3 hours of sleep if you're lucky, and then go repeat that for like most of a week.
That's a grind.
You know, it is, and you would think it would be like more like miserable than it actually was, but it's kind of weird because when you actually get in kind of the mix and you do it, you kind of hit this really weird kind of like kind of hallucinogenic zone.
Yeah,
just kind
yeah.
of focus on like, I just have to get to my next break, or I have to just get till the next, you know, the next lunch, because you get like, you know, like I'm probably exaggerating if I said 4 or 5 lunches, but you got a lot of lunches.
Okay.
Working that long. And so it just kind of came down to kind of compartmentalizing and trying to get to like the next break. And then eventually, you know, 15 hours frighteningly goes like way faster than you think it would.
I guess if that's all you're doing,
yeah.
I guess you just kind of just accept it, you know?
Yeah. It's just like, you know, that's kind of what you're there for. I mean, I think some people kind of get rolled out of the college program. They kind of fail out because I think they go and they think it's going to be like their own personal spring break where they're going to just get to play and just like socialize. And there is plenty of that. I mean, you have plenty of opportunity to do all kinds of cool stuff when you're doing the college program. Mm-hmm. But I think people sometimes forget that, you know, there's definitely work involved. And, you know, especially when it gets busy, they're going to expect you to work a lot.
Damn.
And it didn't help that I was in Magic Kingdom. I think some like other parks got it a little bit better than we did. I think, you know, particularly like Animal Kingdom has always had kind of like the least amount of hours.
Right.
And so like they seem to have got like they tended to get a little more of a balanced workload, while the poor people at Magic Kingdom, you know, just were there like all hours.
Getting slammed there. So you spent 15-hour days there on very little sleep. Did things seem to start, you know, getting a little creepy in there, or reality and fantasy was blending?
Yeah, you know, there's definitely some interesting things that were going on that go on at Pirates of the Caribbean. I mean, I don't know how much, you know, what kind of stories you've heard or what you haven't heard, but you know, there was definitely several like kind of like ghost stories that would make the rounds with the cast members involving Pirates of the Caribbean. You know, like probably the one that's well, like the one that's probably best known is there's a story that goes that there was a guy that worked with the building of Pirates of the Caribbean named George, and the story is that George fell off of some scaffolding and died, you know, in the early stages of the creation of Pirates of the Caribbean. And so there's this story that goes that the ghost of George like haunts the ride, and so there's kind of a cast tradition that every night you're supposed to say goodnight to him before you shut the ride down, or else like the next day is inevitably going to be plagued with all kinds of technical issues.
I think I have heard that before somewhere, but yeah.
Yeah, and I was kind of reading up on it again to kind of refresh my memory, and there's all kinds of hearsay and urban legend. Some people say that his widow was like granted her own private boat when she came so that she could kind of like, I guess, pay her respects. And you know, there's some people trying to say that no, this was like Pirates of the Caribbean at Disneyland. Some people say that it doesn't exist at all, but it's definitely something that's well talked about.
George. So did George really die? Is that on record?
That I don't know. I've from everything I've researched, it doesn't seem that there's like a definitive proof thereof. It seems that there's a lot of people that will say that it happened, but I haven't been able to find an actual, you know, point of origin.
Right.
Right.
So, well, have you experienced anything while you're down there? It's all dark all the time down there. And
well, it's, you know, hard to say. I mean, it has a very creepy aura about it. I mean, I think it's kind of hard to separate sometimes, because I think when you're told these stories, I mean, there was another story that was probably the creepier story, where there was a lot of talk about, you know, like how fairly early in the ride, you know, you kind of go down that like kind of flume into the darkness. And then once you go around, that's when you kind of get into, you know, the ship fight bay.
Right.
Mm-hmm. There was the big story that people love to tell each other, especially when you're coming on anew, which might've been just to scare the new guys. But there was a story that, you know, that held that, some woman might have accidentally tried to get out of her boat and was like crushed by an incoming boat down the flume. And there was a lot of stories saying that, you know, if you were riding late at night, you'd see like shadows and stuff down there. And I mean, I could tell you that little gap of ride is pretty creepy, especially when you have to like ride the ride by yourself at like 3 a.m, which you would have to do if you were like kind of closing the ride. Somebody had to take the final ride of the night. And you definitely, there was definitely a very kind of creepy presence when you had to do that. But it's hard to like honestly chalk that up to just like psychologically knowing that these stories are in your head.
Right.
Yeah.
Why would you have to ride by yourself at the end of the night?
It was just kind of if you know, basically if you're somebody who's closing out part, or, you know, pretty much any ride, you have, depending on what position you're closing, and you have a certain amount of duties that you have to accomplish. And one of them being if you closed the, what we call the load position, where you're the person that kind of gets like sets the boats off as people get on them. Mm-hmm. Your last thing you would do is that once the last people were off, you'd have to get on the ride yourself and take the final ride of the night. Generally speaking, it's just to make sure that everything looks okay, that nothing's out of, you know, nothing. No, there's nothing that needs to be paid attention to before the ride opens again the next day.
Well, so that's a lot to kind of take in. I mean, let's see, how would you be able to do that on that ride in particular? Like look at everything at once, especially.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a challenge. You're not the only person that does it. There's actually, it's really interesting, but the way that it works is that basically who does what is like completely computer assigned. There's like some kind of computer algorithm that when you're there, like every so often, like you basically when you come back from your break, you have to kind of basically log back into the computer, and the computer magically prints off what you're supposed to be doing next.
Okay.
And so like, and sometimes it will like assign you with like random like duties, like it'll like, and there's a regular thing that people get assigned to do ride throughs throughout the day, just to make sure that everything, you know, just to make sure that everything is okay, nothing's broken. I mean, because, you know, with the ride that complex, inevitably things can go wrong. I remember once when I was working there that Jack Sparrow broke and he started like leaking fluids through his shirt, and apparently he was stumbling around even more drunken than like, he was.
What color are the fluids?
I think green. Which, once again, like everything that's green in the Disney.
Right on.
So we had to shut down the ride for a little bit to sober up Jack before we could let people back on.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
Oh, I never knew that. I mean, actually, to be honest, I haven't really talked to in depthly with any cast members that operated attractions. I've really tried to keep the magic going, for lack of a better term. I've known some cast members. I've worked in food, and you know, and behind the scenes of food isn't ruining any magic. But yeah, no, I didn't know about all the details. That's pretty interesting. So I could see how at the end of the night, especially, you know, extra magic hours night, you know, 15-hour shift, hopping on there, you know, with a clipboard, trying to see the clipboard. I don't know if you have a clipboard or not, but I'm just
a mental clipboard.
Mental
all
clipboard.
Up here.
Oh, okay. And just going, whoa, wow.
Yeah, and then there was sometimes like I got to participate in. I think they're not doing it anymore. I was lucky enough to get to do, I think, the last couple of ones they did. But towards the end of my run, I even got to do a couple of grad nights where we were like literally there till like 6 a.m.
Wow!
Because yeah, they just open the park all night. It's like such a wonderful idea, and I could see why they totally discontinued it. But they basically open up the park all night to a bunch of like excited high schoolers who just like graduated. From high school. I mean, there's no way that could possibly go wrong at all.
Yeah, it's smooth sail. No, I participated in that when I graduated high school in Disneyland. So that it's kind of like a rite of passage, you know. So,
I had this story a cast member once relayed to me, because I know a couple weeks ago you did a review on the People Mover. Mm-hmm. And like somebody was telling me that they redubbed the ride for grad night like the People Maker because of some of the activities that people may or may not have been engaging on when they were going on the People Mover.
I have a question.
Yep.
Is there like night vision cameras in the pitch black parts of the People Mover?
I would think that there must be something. I couldn't say for sure. What I can tell you is during those grad nights that we basically they used to, and I'm so sad that they didn't do this when I was there, but like the years before, they actually used to have like cast members hiding in the set so that if people were caught doing things they weren't supposed to, they could like pop out and get them
on Pirates.
Yeah. Yeah, they actually had people like waiting in the wings, but inevitably people were going to misbehave, and they had to be ready for that. And right. for some reason, I guess it was a safety thing, they like discontinued it. But even still, like they had like at least two or three people like whose jobs specifically were to watch the security cameras on the ride just to see what everybody was doing that night.
Oh, like nonstop. Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. And then like I spent a good portion of my night on like walkie talkie duty. I had to just like kind of sit somewhere with a walkie talkie and like just in case anything ever happened, like, you know, like you're ready to go, you know, get into the ride and, you know, get take care of, you know, shenanigans.
So what kind of shenanigans were people get caught doing on Pirates during that night?
Well, I mean, like, the most, like, you know, the stories from the years past were, like, you know, some of the most obvious that people were trying, you know, trying to get a little bit frisky on the ride.
Right, right.
Trying to mess with the ride. I was sadly disappointed because I thought I was going to, like, witness just, like, a hilarious night of like debauchery where I just have like a gazillion. I thought it was going to be like some kind of like, you know, teenage comedy where I was going to come back with like a gazillion funny stories about what happened that night. But sadly, like the only thing that happened when I was there, we had one guy jump off the ride and then jump right back on the ride. And I think we kicked him out of the park for it.
So but water or do you get on the platform?
You got on the platform. If I remember right, I think it was probably right at the right kind of at the, before the flume, I think he jumped off onto one of the set pieces there.
Before the flume? Wow.
Before the flume, like kind of when you're kind of going through the Dead Man Tells No Tales section. Yeah, he jumped off and then he jumped right back on and somebody got him like that. And like I said, I think they removed him from the park for it.
Now, did he take him off, like, did he go through the whole ride or did they actually, like, stop the ride and get him off?
If I remember right, I think they actually took him off the ride. They actually came, got him. Left.
Wow.
They don't mess around.
No. I suppose not. So, you obviously are well familiar with the Magic Kingdom attraction, but I assume you have experienced the Disneyland version.
I have, and you know, in many ways, I hate to say it, I think probably the Disneyland version's cooler. I mean, it's got the couple extra flumes going for it. You know, it's got, I think, an extra flume, or is it two? Do they have two or three total?
I think it's two.
Yeah, but it's got a little more going to it, and I think that probably that's because, you know, that was like the original attraction, and I think the Disney World one was probably they wanted to get the ride up and running to have another Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah, I mean, the... you know, forgive me for not getting all the facts straight, but the stories I know of, they did not intend on building Pirates when they first opened Magic Kingdom. They were going to do, what is that thing called? Western River Expedition.
Yeah, that's what I remember.
And so that was, it was going to be, you know, like a Western version of Pirates, and it was going to be tied in with Big Thunder Mountain.
Right, right.
And all this stuff, and the East Coast people complained. They said they went there, and they're like, where's Pirates? And they canceled that for reasons I don't recall, but one of them was because they built Pirates and just decided, budget-wise, I guess, not to completely duplicate the experience. And so, the first time, you know, I grew up going to Disneyland and just accepting that as the standard. And going from that to the Magic Kingdom one, it's just like, I felt ripped off. I mean, you're just like, what is happening? Why is this so much shorter? You know, why is only one drop? It seems rushed. It's really bizarre.
Yeah. Disney has a have you noticed that they have a tendency to do that? Because I remember when I went to Disneyland last, it was like my first time getting to go to California Adventure. And probably the thing I was most excited for was that I finally got to go on Twilight Zone Tower of Terror again.
Yeah,
I was so bummed because I'm like, this is not the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror I know.
I haven't experienced that, but yeah, I mean, that they said the fifth dimension isn't in the California.
No, it just like basically picks you up and drops you, and I'm like, well, that's sad.
And you know, it's funny because the thing that's disappointing about it is, I harpen back to, in both cases of those attractions to I remember the first time I went on it and not knowing what to expect. And the experience of that, you know, like first time I went on Pirates as a little kid, it was just like, I had no idea where we were going, and went to a restaurant, went to the dark, like, and then it was like I was going on an adventure. And the first time I went on Tower of Terror, when that thing moves forward, you're just like, whoa, what is this? I'm just expecting this to throw me up and throw me down, and then I'm just like, this is incredible. And I would imagine being so bummed thinking that was going to happen on Tower Terror in California Adventure.
Yeah, and I was like, my buddy had never been to Disneyland or Disney World before, so I was like totally building it up to him. I'm like, man, you just have like no idea. This is going to be so cool. And then I felt really bad for being like, oh, you know, this is going to be awesome. I'm like, no, I promise you, if you ever go to Florida, it's going to be like way more awesome than what you just experienced.
he's like, yeah, right. He's not going to take your word out of it again. He's like, yeah. So what did you do when you weren't working?
Pretty much, you know, like the cool thing about being a cast member there is you get into pretty much everything for free. And so, you know, I would usually just spend my days in the parks.
What was your favorite thing to do over and over again?
I think probably if I had to pick probably my favorite overall ride that I went that at the resort was probably Expedition Everest. I really like Expedition Everest.
Yeah, that's a nice smooth roller coaster. You know, like it's you know, it obviously is intense, but it's not like, you know, Six Flags intense, but it's still like I feel like it glides. I don't know. Like it's such a fun ride.
Yeah, it's an incredibly fun run, and the only thing I regret is that unfortunately I wish I could have been there like in its early days before. I don't know. Do you know, like, have you heard of, like, the whole kind of disco Yeti thing?
Oh, of course. Yeah, the Yeti doesn't work anymore. I never experienced the Yeti either.
Yeah, it's just like it's big and frightening, but I kind of wish that I could have actually saw it when it actually would, like, do something other than just, you know, like, just strobe at you when you're going by it.
Yeah, I can imagine that would probably give you chills. Something that big, you know, swiping at you. You know, just like... So, yeah, I couldn't imagine them, you know, to experience that.
Well, hopefully maybe when they once they get maybe Avatar Land open, they'll finally have a big enough attraction to allow them to actually take down, Expedition Everest long enough to maintenance it to figure out how to make it work again.
That seems to be what everyone thinks. But one opinion, which is probably the sad truth, is that, you know, it's not slowing down anyone from going on Expedition Everest, so putting the money into fixing it is not going to be a wise return on investment, probably, you know?
Yeah, I mean, sadly, that's true. And it's kind of interesting because I've read some stuff about, like, the different kind of ideas behind how you run Disney World versus Disneyland. I mean, I've heard mm-hmm. that Disney World, generally a lot of the populace are people who are coming there for a vacation once every couple of years, so they're not as likely to notice the problems with the rides.
Right.
While Disneyland, you know, has like kind of a big repeat crowd, and so they kind of do a better job of maintaining their stuff over there.
Right. So, you know. Yeah, what are you going to do? But it would, you know, it would be cool if they fix that up. Did you hear, like, I mean, it was 4 years ago, I know, so, I mean, who knows what it's come to be or not, but did you hear a lot of rumors and things that, you know, the general public didn't hear that actually did come to be?
You hear, you know, you hear all kinds of weird stuff, and the problem is that, you know, it's kind of hard to separate, you know, fact from fiction, because, you know, people want to say all kinds of crazy stuff. I mean, okay, so one, I remember one that I did hear, and this was one that I'm so glad has not come to pass.
Okay.
Is that there was a big thing around our time. You know, like, I love the Rock and Roller Coaster.
Yeah.
And there was this rumor for a while that the deal was expiring with Aerosmith, and so that Aerosmith, they were going to have to rebrand the ride without Aerosmith. And I remember, like, the big thing when I was there is that there was this rumor that it was going to become, like, the Hannah Montana coaster.
I think I've heard that before, yeah.
Which is really, it's so good that that didn't happen. Just kind of looking down the road and exactly what's happened with Miley Cyrus. Like, it's probably for the best that they did not theme the coaster that way. Otherwise, I think they would probably be, like, thinking about retheming it again right now.
That's true. I guess that didn't expire with Aerosmith because it's still there.
Yeah, still yeah. Of course, the Avatar Land thing, I think, was partially announced while I was out there. That was kind of interesting. I mean, I'm excited for it because I can't wait to see what they do with it. But it was just kind of a well, huh, sort of thing. Like, so Avatar, that's the big thing you guys are picking here.
Yeah. That's pretty much how everyone's reacting to it. You know?
Yeah. Like I said, I'm sure it's going to be very pretty. The first film was kind of enjoyable, but it's just like, wow, you guys are sure banking a lot of money that this is the second and third one are going to be big.
Yeah, it's pretty weird. I mean, my opinion on it in general is, if they're cool, first of all, Pandora, like with the light up plants and all that stuff at night, I would love to see that. You know, I think that would be cool, and hopefully an attraction based on it is going to be enjoyable. I mean, I don't have like a personal connection to Avatar. It was a movie I watched that had some cool parts in it. You know, that was pretty much what I think of it. I'm not negative. I'm neutral, I guess. I'll just say that. I think it's ridiculous how long it's going to take for this stuff to open, though. It's like,
oh, I know. It's like they're making it forever. It's like, when is it? When is it actually opening? Is it like 2018 or something like that?
17 was the last thing that they said. So it's like, I just don't even really think about it. I'm just like, whatever. I'm like, what's going to be going on in my life in 2017? Like,
right. It's kind of hard to plan that far in advance. I remember, on a Disney note, I was looking at, you know how they're doing that big, like, Marvel, like, arena spectacular thing that's going on?
The traveling show, yeah.
Yeah. I was trying to look into that, because I was like, that sounds kind of fun, and I kind of want to go check that out, because, you know, I like Marvel and I like Disney. And, like, they're already trying to sell us tickets for when it comes to Portland, Oregon, which is the closest place to me that it's coming to. But they're, like, not until, like, August 2016, and it just kind of boggles my mind that they're expecting me to buy tickets. Yeah, they're trying to have me buy tickets for something that's, like, over 2 years away. And I'm like, heck, I don't even know if I'm going to be alive in 2 years. I mean, I hope I am. I think I am. But, you know, I can't even say that for certain, let alone that I want to go see, like, the Marvel Arena show.
That's crazy. They're really trying to get the money up front there on that one. That is...
Yeah.
At first, I thought you were saying August of this year, and I'm like, oh, it's not too far away. I'm like, it's only a few months ahead to buy tickets, but it's like 2016?
Yeah, like 2 years from now. And I was like, that is ridiculous.
You're like, well, you know, I'll just take my chances and see if there's some tickets in July, August of 2016.
Yeah. If like a meteor hasn't hit us by then or something, or we're not like ruled by apes or any other kind of like outcome that could possibly happen there.
Well, before we wrap up your cast member stories, is there any other stories that you've heard just in general that might be creepy that the general public might not know about?
Well, okay, so I guess there's, like, a couple more things. First of all, I know that a couple times on your show, I've heard, like, the great, like, ashes debate about whether people dump ashes on rides.
Right.
I can confirm that one. I had a buddy who was in janitorial, and he actually told me the story about how his day was – he had a bad day because he had to clean up dead people ashes off of Haunted Mansion. That happens.
Wow.
Yeah, that happened to him. I mean, he had to deal with all kinds of – he also had to, like – once shut down, like Haunted Mansion, but somebody manages like snot blood all over it, and
whoa,
yeah. So there's that.
Wow, is there any other stories? I don't know if you could top that one, but
okay, well, I've got a pretty good story. This is probably like less like a creepy story for me, but unfortunately, probably like a creepy story for everybody else who's probably checking in the first day of like Disney College program.
Okay,
so basically the first day you have to show up and you have to. You have to go through, like, the registration process and stuff, and you fill out a gazillion forms, get your ID taken, go through, like, five different orientations.
Mm-hmm.
And so I show up, and, you know, I've had, like, 1 hour of sleep because I had a red eye all the way out from, like, Oregon to Florida. And I show up with a guy who was going to be my roommate there. And the first thing they tell me is that back when I was working there, I've heard that it's changed somewhat since then, but there was, like, a big, like, no facial hair policy. Like, you know, you had to be completely clean shaven.
Right.
That was, like, the cast look. And I hadn't, like, shaved in probably, like, a day, maybe two. So, like, I just had maybe, like, the ever so slightest hint of, like, a 5 o'clock shadow. But that was still, like, not cast professional. And so they, the first thing they tell me is, like, you have to go shave yourself before we can let you take your ID picture and continue with the orientation. And I'm like, all right, that's fine. So they give me, like, this really cheap razor and, like, you know, it's just something that comes in one of those, like, bulk bags that you buy. And, like, some shaving cream. So I go into the bathroom to shave myself, and I managed to cut myself shaving. And I proceed to try to, like, kind of, like, damp it down so that I don't continue to bleed. But I wind up, like, for whatever reason, this day it decides my face decides it doesn't want to stop bleeding. And so, like, I'm literally in, like, annoying. the bathroom at the Disney orientation for, like, 45 minutes with, like, this cloth trying to get it to stop bleeding. And I'm freaking out because I'm tired. I'm like, I can't even do, like, orientation correct. How do I expect to, like, actually go through the entire program here?
Oh, my God.
And eventually, like a manager comes in. I'm like, I cut myself bleeding. They're like, oh, it's going to be fine. Just hold a cloth to it or whatever. And I'm
right.
It's been, like, an hour. And they're like, yeah, why don't you go to, like, you know, like, why don't you go to, like, the office? They might have Band-Aids or something like that.
Right.
And so I go to the office, and they proceed to give me some bandages, and then I do not stop bleeding. I, in fact, then bleed through the bandages. And so I had actually
deep cut. Wow.
It was just like a nick. It wasn't, like, a particularly deep cut. I just did not want to stop bleeding. Well, the point is I had to, unfortunately, go through my entire orientation day with, like, all these, like, bloody bandages all over my face. I looked like something out of, like a Boris Karloff film. And I had to, like, and I had to interact with, like, all these, like, pretty young Disney hopefuls. And there was, like, me, the dude with, like, bloody bandages all over my face. And it was literally the first day I've had to anything in my entire life. It was just, like, an absolute nightmare.
Well, you are a creepy kingdom hero, my friend. So you've earned that from that story.
Luckily, it got better from there, but it was a rough start, to say the least.
I couldn't imagine, especially on no sleep and totally out of your element, and trying to start a new project or job or whatever. Yeah, no, that would have probably struck me down, man. I probably would have, like, went back home.
Yeah, luckily I persevered and things got better after, like, a decent night's sleep. But yeah, it was a nightmare.
That's awesome. So you do a radio show in your area of Oregon, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So tell me a little bit about what that show is.
I co-host a weekly kind of pop cultural radio show out in Eugene, Oregon. It's called Friendly Neighborhood Fanboys, and it's just two and me and my buddies, and basically we just kind of it's on a local comedy station. We just basically kind of get together and talk about kind of all things pop culture, comedy, or comics, movies, TV, video games. I talk a fair amount about theme parks simply because I'm kind of a theme park geek, and so whoever's listening has to be, like, really confused when I'm talking about, like, the Maelstrom over at, like, Norway. Like, they don't know what I'm talking about,
right,
but, like,
right.
I'll sit there for, like, 10 minutes and try to explain, how wonderful that is. And we're trying to expand our presence to an online presence. We're hopefully trying to make kind of a podcast out of it, too. We have a podcast site, which is fnf.podomatic.com. And that's where we keep our archived episodes of our show, and we try to update it as much as we can. And so if anybody wants to check out what we do, like I said, we do a little bit of comedy, we do a little bit of pop culture geek stuff, feel free to tune in.
Cool, yeah, I know, and I'll put a link to that in the show notes as well.
Awesome.
And is there do you have any way to get in touch with you, Twitter or website or any fun thing like that?
If you want to just kind of drop and see what we do, let me know what you thought. We actually have a Facebook page, and it's just, if you go on Facebook and look up Friendly Neighborhood Fanboys, we're the only one there. So that's our page. Feel free to give us a like. Yep, that's me.
Awesome. Well, thank you for coming on and giving us a little peek back behind the curtain.
Hey, well, it's been a real pleasure, James. Like I said, I love your show, and I'm honored that I come on and talk to you for a little bit.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And be well. I don't know. I was trying to think of a good thing, the way to end this. And go forth and kill. All right, coming up are a few clips from the one-on-one interview I did over for thebestmagic.net, a conversation I had with Sal. So, here's a few clips.
Hi, and welcome to today's special one-on-one on thebestmagic.net. Today I have a guest for you that likes to find creepy things in Disney. Of course, if you may have heard of his website, creepykingdom.com. James, how you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing good. We just had a little chat before we started recording. And one thing I think that's great about your site is that you put a lot of time into it, and you actually created your own little introduction music too, which I find interesting because I actually heard it, and then I was looking online to see if I could find it. It sounded familiar to me, but here to find out you created yourself, right?
Right. Yeah. So, yeah, the intro to my podcast, I created, I wrote and recorded all the music, but all the sound effects, which is howling and dogs barking and stuff like that, I took them all from like Haunted Mansion sound effects CD, which had them all separate. So I incorporated a little bit of that in there just to tie it all together. But yeah, I did the music myself. Yeah, it's just kind of focusing more on the, you know, the darker side of Disney, which is all there. It's always been there. When people think about Disney, they think about sunny, bright princess stuff. And of course, that's what it's about. But the dark element has always been there since day one. I mean, just go back to Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. I mean, that is a dark, dark movie with a little little bit of dancing and songs in it, you know, but... And then right on to Pinocchio. And that's so I'm just and that's just what I'm interested in. And I didn't really see it represented anywhere in the fan community. So I'm like, I'll just do it myself.
That's actually what I was going to ask you. What got you involved to create a podcast and a site about this aspect, which is interesting. And like you're saying about the show, you really don't think about it. But if you look at the things about it, it's kind of creepy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like if you really pay attention, like what's going on. And one of the questions I had for you, do you think the Disney community as a whole has embraced your idea? Because I know some people get kind of taken aback by using anything that Disney is creepy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Some people get taken aback by that.
Do I think Disney community as a whole has embraced it? Absolutely not. But that's fine with me because I'm trying to find like-minded people that appreciate what I have to bring to the table. I have thought of something similar where I want to honor different people that worked on attractions, and I haven't actually mentioned this anywhere, so world, you know, world premiere here, but like creepy legends, you know, kind of thing.
Right.
Like, for example, Leota Toombs was an Imagineer. Her face is Madame Leota in the Haunted Mansion. It is not, it's not her voice, but that's another person I'd want to do, which is Eleanor Audrey. Is the voice of Madame Leota, who also is Maleficent and Lady Tremaine. So those are her voice is pretty iconic as far as like you think of like an evil Disney voice. You know?
Oh yeah.
Oh, when ghosts and goblins by the score, ring your bell or pound your door. Better not be stingy or your nightmares will come true.
Thanks to Adam for coming on the show. You can check out his radio show / podcast, Friendly Neighborhood Fanboys, by going to fnf.podomatic.com. And thanks to Sal from thebestmagic.net for interviewing me. I had a lot of fun. And if you haven't heard it yet, I suggest checking it out. It's about 35 minutes, and we get into a lot more stuff. It's mostly, you know, it's about the show. It's not about me. But a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff, and I even answer some listener questions. Or not this show's listener, but his listeners. They had some questions for me, so that was fun. There's a link to that as well. The actual link to that post is kind of long, but thebestmagic.net is the website. And I'll link to my interview in the show notes. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns, you can email me at creepykingdom@gmail.com. And let me allow you to follow me on the Twitter. It's the best place to interact with me. I'm all over it all the time. The Twitter handle is @creepykingdom. And for show notes, videos, creepy Disney cosplay and fan art pictures, links to all of our social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Google+, Tumblr, and Pinterest. It's a one-stop shop for that. CreepyKingdom.net. www.thecreepykingdompodcast.com. You can subscribe to our show in the iTunes store, and you can also rate and review us there, preferably 5 stars. And we just got a great 5-star review that I would love to share with you. This review is from username Drayden. A Disney podcast not afraid to talk about their dark side. I really enjoy listening to the Creepy Kingdom podcast. I listen to a lot of podcasts, many of them Disney related, and I like the direction this one takes while bringing forth all the dark undertones from Disney and the Disney parks. The production value is really high, and I really like the short episode format. 30 to 40 minutes, quick and to the point. Well, unfortunately, our show is a little longer now. More in the hour, but we're still quick and to the point. We don't mess around, right? Right. Keep up the good work. I started listening recently and plan on catching up as quickly as possible, and the host makes that an enjoyable experience. Thank you so much. That is such a lovely thing to say. I really appreciate it. And that's awesome. And listener, you, I would really appreciate if you would review the show. Even if you, for some reason, don't think it's 5 stars, you know, just put it out there. Let me know what's up. Let me know what you're thinking. And we are also available on the Stitcher app, an application that streams podcasts directly to your smartphone. No downloading required. Just visit Stitcher.com. Well, until next time, keep it creepy.
I have to go now. It's midnight. Pleasant dreams.